Coming up on Patriots This Week, it's the show that Patriots fans hope will never end.
Came down at the 25. What a play by Amendola.
No matter how you get it, you know, you got to figure out how to win the game.
Trailing the Texans by 5, Tom Brady got the ball with 2 minutes and 24 seconds left. Number 12 needed only 201.
He's looking for Cooks in the end zone. It's caught. It's a touchdown. Patriots.
2 weeks ago, we weren't in a position to do what we did today.
Everything didn't go right for us as a team, but we just kept fighting.
Now it's Carolina on their mind. The Panthers come to Foxborough with a suffocating defense and the game's most dynamic dual-threat quarterback.
Let's go again, baby. Just line up and play.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
And what started as a most unusual Sunday in the National Football League ended with something we've grown accustomed to, a Patriots comeback led by Tom Brady. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Sosia along with my radio partner, former Pats quarterback Scott Zolak, and a three-time Super Bowl champion for the Patriots, Matt Chatham. And guys, again, Tom Brady leads the Patriots on a fourth-quarter rally, 50th time overall in his career, beating the Houston Texans in what really was a struggle in the heat here at Gillette on Sunday.
Been around this franchise for a long time. Matt, you played here. I don't ever remember it being as hot as it was, as oppressive as it was on Sunday. Credit to them for hanging through it. Also the Texans. I thought it was a good football game. Two really good, well-coached teams going at it in heat.
I left the stadium, I think, like a lot of people, thinking about the scramble plays of Deshaun Watson and all the plays he kept alive. I went back out and found a lot of really good throws, too. A nice pocket delivery. Great stuff where he was looking off the safety, getting them to move a few directions and turning back and putting dimes on people. That was high-level stuff. So I know we make a lot of, oh, he's a rookie and it's his first start here. That guy was playing like a lot better than a rookie. And it wasn't just, you know, the Patriots defense. That was high-level quarterback.
The touchdown pass to the tight end, the back shoulder throw where McCourty had coverage there. Yeah. People thought, well, Devin didn't have a good game. Devin had great coverage. You can't coach that any better. That's a great throw, and you got to tip the cap.
But as I said after the broadcast, you've got a former Clemson Tiger playing against a quarterback who has the heart of a lion and, of course, the resume of an all-time great in Tom Brady. And talking about his comeback, it's third and long. He hits Gronkowski on the game-winning drive. Gronk breaks a tackle, lunges for the first down, and then it's Brady to Amendola and eventually Brady to Cooks, who we declared became a Patriot on Sunday.
That last drive, that game-winning drive, they overcame a lot of adversity. You know, you fumble the ball, you recover it. You get backed up on a call. Next thing you know, you're looking at 3rd-and-12, 3rd-and-18, and you're converting these type of throws, and you just knew it, the way it's building and the hits that Tom took, and he's hanging in there. He knew he had to hold onto the ball just to let these guys get open for a fraction of a second. And it may have paid a little bit for him because he's going to physically feel a little sore and beat up, even though he says he doesn't get sore anymore. You know, I'm just glad he didn't get a suntan or sunburn because he hydrates so much. You know, he was drinking so much. Everybody, I got a sunburn. Brady didn't even get sunburned in that game. So it's like he's a robot.
I'm more than willing to let you all try to beat me up on this later in the season. But I think I still am sticking by this notion that there's some Antonio Brown and Brandon Cooks. And it's, we're starting to peel away here a little bit. And this is one route you can appreciate more as a guy who had to throw this thing. But how important, when you can start hitting on deep comebacks, does it open everything else up? And that's on that winning drive before he makes a big one. He makes the deep comeback.
Remember the first touchdown, that in cut? Oh. That's the one I got excited about. I'm like, finally, there it is. Yeah, we've been waiting for that Edelman-like catch where Julian's the guy goes 12 across, secures the catch, and it goes. Brandon's ability to run after the catch is something that's going to separate him from all these other receivers.
What about Gronk? A week earlier, we wondered whether he'd be available, leaving the field in New Orleans with a groin injury. He goes out, catches the back shoulder. In fact, Tom Brady threw it twice on back-to-back plays. What did he see the first time that led to it the next time?
I think it's ball placement. I think it was, I don't want to say a poor throw, but I don't even know. If Gronkowski didn't get bumped, then we got to get used to it. And I got to stop complaining on the broadcast about him getting held because these referees are just going to let it go. Based on his size, he's at a disadvantage. So Brady's starting to figure out that it's not going to be the 3-foot throw over the top. It's got to be here next to the helmet. And I think, too, people get excited about the numbers, and you should, because Gronkowski, it's fun when he catches the ball. He was better blocking than he was receiving the other day.
What about the adjustments the Pats made to try to give Brady a little more time using not only Gronkowski, but other guys, including at times Mike Gillisley, to help pick up some of those rushers for the Texans?
We just talked about the over route by Cooks that was the big first touchdown. That was on play action. That was a stretch play. That was off of run action. So what that does is you don't have to stand back and hold, you know, and protect for 5 seconds. And let's be honest, they struggled with that at points. Tom got hit a little more than you'd like, and it wasn't a great day across the offensive line. But they figured it out. So I shouldn't say throughout the game. The protection got awful good late. You don't score 36 points without good protection at some point. But I think it became the chipping of the back. They started doing that more. They started using their tight ends, moving around them, let them hit the edge before they head into the pattern. They just mixed it up more. And let's be honest, right now the tackles need a little help. They do.
How about defensively? We talk about the secondary, and you mentioned McCourty's play. Malcolm Butler drew praise from Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia after the game, a couple of days later during a conference call. Stephon Gilmore, though, still very much in the crosshairs, under a lot of scrutiny in these parts early this season. What are your thoughts about the way things are right now in the back end?
Gilmore's obviously a high-end guy, or the market wouldn't dictate what it did this past March. I'm going to give it some time here because we got to go back 3 years ago or 4 years ago when Darrell Revis got here, and Darrell's a high-impact type corner. Took him 6-7 games till things started to look right for us, meaning take him up, match him up over top of football. The motor of Malcolm Butler the other day was impressive. It's a motor I've seen with him every time he steps on the field, though. He competed hard.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue they have defensively right now is clearly big plays. There's been nine of them.
You don't have Hightower either.
Nine plays over 30 yards, which is rare for this team. And those are not because your players aren't good enough. It's bust. The long one the other day on 2nd and 22 was great rush. Nobody can get Watson down. It's not easy. I'm not sitting here in a chair trying to pretend like it is. But fall asleep on a guy, you know, as scramble rules happen and the guy ends up with a huge play. It's more mental bust at this point than it is physical. I think there's a lot there to work with, but we're being dishonest if you say it's good, because it's not. They've got a long ways to go, but I think I still like the pieces. It's just more of a continuity thing at this point.
All right, let's end the first segment with the national conversation, if we can use that term, the past week. Certainly there's been a strong national reaction on both sides in the wake of how last weekend began with the remarks by President Trump in Alabama, how the weekend concluded with what we saw during the national anthem across the NFL. We know that a number of Patriots kneeled during the national anthem. Others stood. How does this team stay united as they've declared they will moving forward? Where does it go from here?
Well, I think, Friday night, the comments sort of ignited everything, right? You put the bait out in front, so every single team, all 32 teams, are forced to react to this. I think moving forward, it's going to be a one-time thing. I mean, I don't know what religion you are. I think you're Catholic, Russian Orthodox. I don't know what you are. I don't know how we do this show, being, you know, three different religions.
Right.
Great thing about this country, but the great thing about playing on a football team is 53 guys coming together for 60 minutes each and every Sunday, or maybe Monday night if you're lucky. They move forward here. I think this will not divide them. They got great leadership at the top. You did Navy football. I did Navy football. I would not kneel. And I just... But you have the right to do what you want to do. That's why we live in America.
And I think that you hit on something that always resonates with me, the difference between faith and religion. And when you're talking to me about you have to stand, you have to kneel, those are rules. And that's more religion than faith. What we're talking about here is a bunch of guys who have great faith in their country. They may not be adhering to what the guy next to them wants to do as the religion of politics. And that's an important distinction here. These guys believe very strongly in their country. The notion that they're not showing their beliefs the way you want them to doesn't mean they do, that they don't feel that way, and they do. And you're talking about some incredibly conscientious guys like Daron Harmon, guys like McCourty, guys like Nate Solder. These guys are very thoughtful people. These people probably, and I can easily say this, spend more time with wounded veterans, spend more time with military personnel, spend more time with people who are in the military than a lot of the people that are booing them.
That's incredibly
important. So don't overlook who these people are. They are patriots.
Yeah, I think regardless of how one feels about the method, we're all in agreement with regards to the motivation and ultimately, you know, the message they're trying to send, whether it's received or not. I mean, I can't think of anything more American than social justice and equal treatment under the law. All right, for Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, we'll continue with those guys in a little bit. But Don Banks takes their seat right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Dietrich Wise Jr. The rookie defensive end has been a major contributor so far this season. The 23-year-old, who earned his degree at Arkansas, recorded his first sack in his first NFL game against the Chiefs. The 6'5", 271-pounder was the Patriots' fourth-round choice in this year's NFL draft.
He followed in the footsteps of his dad, who was drafted by the Seattle Seahawks in 1988. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue now on Patriots This Week with our Bank Shot segment. And welcome in Don Banks. And Don, we touched on last weekend from Friday, the president's comments through Sunday and Monday night, of course, with the player demonstrations during the national anthem. As we look forward to this weekend, we saw a unified front last week, literally and figuratively, from owners and players, owners literally standing with their players' arms interlocked. How long do you expect that kind of unification from the National Football League to linger?
There's a chance the Kumbaya moment could linger. One, it depends on what the president does and if he further engages on this topic. And two, I really believe that it could linger, but more than press releases, if the one owner steps up and signs Colin Kaepernick, I think that's going to send a message far stronger than linking arms or putting out a strongly worded message.
How about any concern about long-term ramifications? We've seen video of fans burning jerseys. We've heard here and there of restaurants and bars that have closed their doors, so to speak, to NFL games on TV. How concerned do you think the league is about that?
As we did with strike seasons in the past, you have a lot of fans emotional about this topic and feel strongly that the league has crossed some sort of line. I don't believe, though, that the ratings showed that this weekend, or this past weekend, and I don't think long-term the league thinks that this is going to be an issue that does true damage.
One of the owners very concerned, it seems, about one of his players in a demonstration as part of a so-called celebration after a touchdown. John Mara, Odell Beckham Jr. in New York. This is a young man who has shown an immature streak, to say the least, in his brief NFL career. How did the Giants proceed? Because Tom Coughlin couldn't rein him in.
Big picture, it's a small issue, really. Did you see those two touchdown catches? He is that good, and they will make room for his immaturity at times. But let's be honest, this is a struggling offense, and he's their number one playmaker, and the star system is alive and well in the NFL.
Don, as the NFL films football follies demonstrated through the years, this league has been filled with many embarrassing moments. Where does Marcus Cooper's this past weekend for the Bears rank?
I put him at number one in the Premature Celebration Hall of Fame. And I'll tell you why. It's not just because it's recent, but we've already seen Leon Lett pull his stunt in the Super Bowl. We saw DeSean Jackson drop the ball at the one-yard line on Monday Night Football, Cowboys-Eagles. I give Cooper the number one because those already happened. We don't need any other reminders to NFL players to hold onto the football all the way into the end zone. No dogging, no showboating. So Cooper, to me, is number one.
Well, his namesake, Amari Cooper, and the Oakland Raiders, they were beaten badly by the Washington Redskins. What's your reaction to that game? The Raiders, a team that many expect to be in the hunt, of course, for a Super Bowl berth.
Well, kudos to Washington. They were the more aggressive. They were the hungrier. The Raiders looked like they mailed it in. I actually think this could be useful for Jack Del Rio. I think Oakland was probably starting to feel really good about itself. Marshawn Lynch probably gave them a little extra confidence. I think the Raiders used this loss to say, we got to go to work. We're not good enough. We haven't been near the top long enough to mail anything in.
Well, it's a roller coaster of a weekend in the NFL. Here's to more smooth sailing this week for all the teams in the National Football League. Don, appreciate your time.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob.
Don Banks with us back with more right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for the Zoe Show. Boy, you want to talk about dating yourself. I'm getting old this year because I did an all-star game with this guy's dad, Eddie McCaffrey. We're going to take a look at Christian McCaffrey, the rookie for the Carolina Panthers. Now, three games in, we really don't know what his true role is going to be, but the ability to run these little spot routes, you're going to see him here, just get to the outside. He had 9 catches against the Saints. Freeze it right there. Okay, so this is a kid who at Stanford had a great career running the football. Why? Because he had the ability to get inside, find daylight, and then boom, crease it to the outside. It's always about running to daylight for young running backs. Kid's got a pretty good nose for getting in the end zone. And then this is the big one here. Okay, so you're Cam Newton. Freeze it right there. We're going vertical here. You remember all the good receivers, guys like Funches and Ted Ginn Jr. back in the day? I want you to watch the double move here. Go ahead and roll the tape. Little out. Gronkowski did this against the Saints too, only down the right side. So, is he down? No, you better make sure you touch this kid. He's a good football player. So with the Patriots' problems that they've had in the secondary, tackling the front, once Dante Hightower come back, you better find out what Christian McCaffrey is. He can create some problems for you. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time now to turn our attention to the Carolina Panthers, who 2 years ago were 15-1, 14-0 at one point, bound for Super Bowl 50, lost to the Broncos, then went 6-10. And although 2-1, this is a team right now that will come into Gillette Stadium this Sunday for its first matchup with the Pats since 2013, struggling a bit. They're beat up on offense. No Greg Olsen, no Kelvin Benjamin. Right. Perhaps he was injured in the last game, didn't play much in a loss to New Orleans. But they still have Cam Newton, and they've got a couple of young dynamic players like Christian McCaffrey.
And more than that,
they got a good defense.
Starting to look at this game, and once you dig deeper, it's starting to be a replica almost of the previous week against Houston, because they have a really good defensive front again. This is as good a linebacker, set of linebackers, guys like Davis, Kuechly. You go down the list of these guys, they will hit you, they will stick you. A little different skill set than what Houston had. Houston were more of a, you know, pass wreckers. You know, they'll get in there, get into your backfield. This team runs really well defensively, laterally. Offensively, same thing with Houston. They're down at the tight end position, but you got a mobile, bigger quarterback. I don't think he's as swift as the guy you just faced in Deshaun Watson. This guy will run over you a little bit more.
A lot of distrust in, or his sort of personal distrust in what's out in front of him. Not hitting checkdowns, trying to make more than is often there, and having some arm issues as well. You know, this guy had a long offseason. He's not the same guy we remember, and they're waiting for him to break out as well.
His style, too, has forced him, I think, to get into some bad habits where, coaching, they'll let him throw off the back foot, and all of a sudden the arm drops. He's throwing sidearm instead of pocket presence, compact, you know, coming over the top. But I'm with Matt, too. I don't think he totally believes that this is their offense. They're still trying to find their identity.
The one thing you have to go back to, I think, though, that really works well with the Patriots, where they're at right now, and I know people are going to roll their eyes because I know ranking-wise the Patriots don't sit well defensively. But one of the elements they've been good at is when it's time to go regular defense, because you know that they're going to run the football, their big has been pretty good, you know, with Malcolm and with Lawrence Guy, now Branch getting more involved. Dietrich Wise has been a revelation, guys. He is putting some games back together. I think this defense is made and is pretty good at box play, right? Your linebackers are hammerheads, struggle a little more in space. But if Newton and these guys want to bring in two tight ends and do the multi-motion stuff and misdirection run game, I think the Patriots can handle that portion.
What's box play? It's like this new box? You know, you haven't even talked about this.
We haven't even talked about the new set. Right.
You can tell the Bill checks are cashing, man. Here. This is nice. Look at that baby.
I like having a little stage here. I should take this around with
it's
me.
Like
maybe cut off a section of it so I don't feel
You like
so,
the party.
You have those lights under your car, don't you, Bob? The glowing car?
You know, the Panthers' defense, as you touched on, the two linebackers, Kuechly and Davis, and that's as good a tandem as there's been in the league the last several years. The defense for Carolina, from the line to the back end, how good is this unit?
They're solid. I think they're more based than what they were, you know, 3-4 years ago to where they could man up and you had Josh Norman out there. We're just going to beat people up on the outside. I worry about crossing routes. So you want to keep guys like Hogan and Amendola away from guys like Kuechly. Kuechly's a heat-seeking missile. He'll try and knock you out. The toughness of Davis is what I'm impressed with. Remember that Super Bowl when he had the broken arm? He had, 134 stitches. They put two rods in. Kid played the next week. Yeah. He's almost as good a off-field player as he is on-field player.
One footnote, by the way, though, to that defense against New Orleans. Two of those touchdowns were off short fields after turnovers by the Carolina offense. Now, you guys are back with your game changers and predictions right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
Back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Pats and Panthers each 2-1 in week 4 of the NFL season. Scott Zolak, how's it turn out?
Well, it turns out another win for the Patriots. It's going to be 3 in a row. 34-20 I have them. I keep wanting to not pick the offense that high. They're starting to click. They're getting points in the 30s. James White is going to be my impact player.
Wow. I mean, how do you not at this point pick the Patriots to score 30 points? I'll go 31-20, and I'm going to have to go with Brandon Cooks. And I know that's sort of a passe pick with as big a game as he had a week ago, but I think things just open up for him. Last week was a small amount of catches for a lot of yards. I think his target rate is really high here, and he's just all over the field.
Good job being outside the box there.
Woo!
keep it going with the flow.
Box.
On top of the box. Hey, guys, thanks so much. Nice. Looking forward to football this weekend. For Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and Don Banks, I'm Bob Soucy. We'll talk to you again next week on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.